Ladies and gentlemen, please find your seats. It's time for Pop-Up Radio's Episode 7. Today's special guest, Connie Hawkins.
No. We talk about Connie Hawkins. Our guest is Dispatch frontman Chadwick Stokes.
Who is Connie Hawkins?
He was an NBA basketball superstar.
Connie was a he?
Yes, a Hall of Famer.
You mean like Bruce Jenner was a he?
No! Would you just get this episode rolling?
Oh, I'm so confused. Produced in a 1972 Airstream trailer. Pop-up radio with your host, Connie Hawkins.
Hey!
Episode 7 with special guest Chadwick Stokes of Dispatch. Summer Tour 2022.
Golly, is it hard to find good help these days or what? Welcome back to Pop-Up Radio. I'm Eric Warden. Back in July, Dispatch, the well-known, well-traveled, and well-meaning Boston-based band, known for its indie folk, jam band, roots, and rap rock reggae fusion, embarked on a co-headlining tour with perennial tour jammers OAR. Via Zoom, we tried to link up with frontman and co-founder Chadwick Stokes and percussionist pal and vocalist co-founder Brad Corrigan. In over 25 years, Dispatch has formed a massive global fan base with their desire to use their music for the common good, create social change and awareness, and contribute charitably to those in need. Brad didn't make it for the interview. One will certainly become enlightened after a chat with Chad. Touring in support of their latest album, Break Our Fall, from Dispatch, Chadwick Stokes, on Pop-Up Radio.
Right on.
Pretty thrilled about the fact that your tour is what? You've been on it for a week so far?
Yes, sir.
And you're coming to me live, and I see the beautiful Oregon sunshine in Bend, which is in Central Oregon. Have you been to Bend before?
Yes. I think I've been there once before on a state radio tour.
Yeah, yeah. You're playing at the Les Schwab Amphitheater. I'll have you know Les Schwab is a Northwest tire baron. So if you need any new tires for the for the tour bus, you go to Les Schwab. There it is. Well, let's get going. I guess you're mostly the Northeast based guy with Bradigan coming out of Colorado, I believe. I am curious, yeah. Since you guys have been doing this, I've been a radio for a lifetime. And so, I mean, I'm talking almost 50 years. It's crazy. And I grew up in Southern Oregon, a place called Roseburg, south of Eugene by about an hour, and been here in Virginia for about 30 years. With you guys lighting the fuse on things in the mid-90s-ish, how did you survive going through not just one, but two fairly decent hiatuses? You know, the one that I think of is, you know, nearly a decade. You'd think maybe this is it for Dispatch. And so tell me a little bit how that all came together, because it's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster, but I think we were so, I think we really burnt out in around 2002, 2004. We'd basically spent our, you know, from the age of 18 to 23, you know, attached at the hip. And I think we were stunting each other's growth as humans. So we needed to get away. So we did that big farewell show, which was kind of like, oh, fuck, I can't believe that so many people are here. So many people care about this band. And then we left. And then, you know, we took that time off. And then we came back just to do a couple like benefit shows. And those went really well. Those were the MSG shows. And I think at some point it was like, we liked playing together. We'd all done different bands, you know, in that like decade that were more our main thing. But we still appreciated each other more, I think, when we came back for these kind of one-offs type thing. But it also came to a point where we were getting together, rehearsing for like three shows and then being done. So I think I was like, I can't, you know, why are we rehearsing for a month just to play three nights? Let's just do a tour, you know. And that was 2011, which was a big tour where we played like soccer stadiums and stuff. It was kind of ridiculous. And we took some more time off. And then in 2016, I guess the answer to your question is like, we were, I, you know, smart enough, I suppose, to let ourselves grow up a little bit and let our hearts and minds kind of catch up with our human evolution and our growth, so that when we did see each other, there was more appreciation. And that's why we're in kind of a nice sweet spot now.
Well, coming from a career radio guy, and, you know, I'll tell you right up, it's when you're working for the man, you know, you got to do what you got to do, what you're being told. And my dad was a radio news guy for the most part. And he said, man, if you want to be in radio, you'll always be employed if you just remember that product knowledge is secondary. You've got to have the passion to be a broadcaster. And yet musically, I never got a chance to work AAA until I moved to this market in 1993. And this is about the time that you guys are breaking out, and AAA, which, you know, a lot of people outside the industry don't know, it's adult album alternative, but it was suddenly a commercial avenue for bands like yours, whether you're roots rock or reggae, whatever label, indie, punk, ska, folk, it's all part of what Dispatch is. And yet you haven't relied on that. And sadly for me, because I worked at a AAA, it's hard for them to compete because they're just too cool for the room. It's like your favorite little coffee shop or art teak or something. And yet all these great musicians with something to say, and you guys are right up there. You have done what very few have done. I mean, no label, no airplay for the most, I don't mean that truthfully, but I mean, word of mouth and Napster.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how Napster helps spread the word, because for me, Dispatch almost has the kind of a following that Jimmy Buffett has. And it's a totally different world, but it's like, I've never understood.
Right.
When you yourself go to have a concert that you think might have 20,000 people, but 120,000 from all over the globe show up, what does that say to you? So go back to the beginning about Napster, because I'm curious about, did a light go on? Like, hey, you know what? We might have something here.
Yeah, it was we just started to, like, it was kind of growing exponentially, even without Napster. Maybe not exponentially, but it was growing. And so we kept on coming back to these. We'd play the Wetlands in New York City, and the next we'd play a month later, and there'd be, you know, we'd play once and there'd be like 100 people. Then we'd play again and there'd be like 500 people. Then we'd play again and there'd be 1,000 people. The crowds were doubling kind of every time we came, and big lines around the blocks. And then Napster hit, and we got a night. Well, I think the first time we figured it out, we went to Pomona. We went to Southern California to play a college gig, just kind of randomly. And we got there, and there was a couple thousand people there, and they were all singing the words. And we'd never been to California before, and we'd never been even close. So it was that kind of thing. We were like, hey, something's going on here. And then we ended up, you know, Sean Fanning is from the Cape, so he's from my home state. And we ended up linking up and becoming buddies, and, you know, help supporting him during the congressional hearing and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, the your music is amazing. I love the idea that you use it as a platform, not to get overly political. You certainly could, you know, speak your mind on various beliefs, but you speak on behalf of so many things.
I'm happy to get political.
I understand. The idea though that you do put your music together for the greater good is phenomenal. And whether it's, you know, human rights or starvation or homelessness, and you go the next step too, because both you and Brad have your own charities, your nonprofits. Tell me about Calling All Crows, and also about the Elias Fund.
It's called the Alias Fund, and that was like around our Dispatch Zimbabwe shows, and we were it was just a way to get back together. A country that is very near dear to me was struggling, and we had started it as a scholarship foundation for kids in Zimbabwe, but then there school got canceled, hospitals were shut down. It was so bad in around 2007, and so we wanted to raise money even just for survival over there, for like clean water and medical clinics, to help out medical clinics, so stuff like that. And then Brad does Love, Light, and Melody, which does a bunch of stuff that's in Nicaragua and helping kids and school and education there. And together on this on this tour, we are teamed up with the Multi-Faith Initiative to End Mass Incarceration, which is based out of Atlanta. And it's basically, we are trying to do whatever we can to change the narrative of what the justice system and the prison system looks like in this country, and why it's so messed up, and how awful it is, and how we have 5% of the world's population, but over 20% of the world's people in cages. You know, it's a really fucked up system, and we're doing record sealment events at different cities where people who have served time can seal their records so that something that happened years and years ago, like a minor drug offense, doesn't stop them from getting a job. And we also have t-shirts and posters designed by returning citizens and made by returning citizens that we're selling at the shows.
Mm. Was this always this kind of giving back? Was it always part of the plan, or did it kind of grow organically out of the path you were on? Because certainly you grew up in an era where you saw people like Bob Geldof doing huge things globally to create change and pulling in the power of the music industry. Was that part of kind of initially with you, or was it seeing what, you know, U2 does the same thing? There are a lot of bands that sort of lead by example, but not all.
Yeah. I mean, those like Live Aid concerts were so inspiring. I think, you know, I grew up listening to Hair and music of the 60s and 70s, and during that tumult, and really believing in music's role in revolution. And so I think I gravitated towards that. And then I think really when we took time off, both Brad and I felt like if we're going to do this, it's always going to be for a cause. So I think when we, after that big show in Boston, we took years off and we came back together, you know, really only if we could marry music and some kind of message or some kind of giving back or activism.
But along the way, you also sold millions and made a lot of fans. I wanted to ask you, since this is, and this is just something that very few in my radio career have ever even brought it up, but did you ever hear of something called One Giant Leap, which was a 1999, it was around the time that the millennium was turning. And I think that there was a couple of guys named Jamie Cato and Duncan Bridgman. They actually decided to take an early laptop and go global and record chorus and music and rhythms from all kinds of cultures in order to show that we could celebrate the unity and diversity of humanity. There's more in common that we have than we have that are different. And music is a conduit. If you've never heard or seen anything about One, that's the number one Giant Leap, I invite you to look into it, because people from Michael Stipe to Nina Cherry and a lot of other musical people, Grantley Buffalo, Grantley Phillips was in there. But they also had other people like Dennis Hopper and all, just doing comments, because it was a documentary, it was a DVD, and it was a CD, and it's worth checking into because it's got this global outreach that I know that you're touching as well. So you're going to be playing here September 2nd with OAR and G Love. I know you've got the first few legs there with Robert Randolph. Oh my God. Anyway, so how I wish I could be with you and Ben, but you guys have played with OAR before, but never toured as co-headliners. Tell me about your relationship with these guys, because I really find that the jam band community, if I can just put a cap on whatever some people might want to say Dispatch is. Bottom line is, you guys seem to be more into, it's not about competing, it's about like harmonizing. You guys are better than the sum of your parts. Your thoughts on OAR?
Yeah, well, I love the jam band community. I think there's no fans like the jam fans, whether you're talking about, I think it really started with the Dead and that allegiance and that lifestyle. And it carries on to this day. I think that's why we still have a career, because I think it's really about the connection at the live show, and it's not about radio or promotion or whatever. It's just kind of about the live experience, and I think that's what connects us with OAR as well. They have been so consistently touring, you know, unlike us.
Yeah.
And they've had a lot more on the radio and stuff, so that's helpful. But they just have kept at it. And they're really, we had a run-in with them early in our career together, and then we basically didn't see them for 20 years. So it's, but it's, yeah, we weren't really on the same festivals. We weren't, so, but we did grow out of this like college scene and this kind of jam world where it's just kind of built, you know, built it kind of one little town at a time. And so it's great to be connected with those guys. They're so, such good guys, such sweethearts.
I got to point out one more thing. When I saw I saw you and OAR doing a thing at the Relics Studios, not really that long ago. And I have to say, you're wearing the same t-shirt right now. Is it the only shirt you have? Portland's Music Millennium. I got to tell you, are you looking at me? Let's see, what do I got? Check this out.
Yes.
There you go. Adapt, baby. Nothing like being at Music Millennium on Burnside. I worked that market for years, and a lot of friends are still working it there. And so, big.
I don't know if you can see it, but the owner signed it. It's just about to disappear. Yeah,
oh, that's so cool.
Just about to disappear right there.
Well, I gotta say, major props. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for noticing. I do have other t-shirts.
You do?
One or two.
You promise? Yeah. I can send you. Can you see what I've got here?
Yeah.
So in addition to, have you ever seen, you've probably been, have you ever starred in Jam in the Van?
Yes.
I thought so. And back when I was in a lull in my radio career, it wasn't long, but I thought to myself, you know, maybe I'm going to do a podcast, and I want, if my past is broadcasting and I've been on air, and the future is streaming, I want to combine the two. I want to be air streaming. But instead of being in some Winnebago somewhere with a camera, I want to be in a 1972 Airstream trailer. So I got one. And it is my mobile podcast studio. If you and I were in person today, you'd be inside this. And so that's my old style logo, the mic. And I mean, I've got merch. Look, I've got merch. I'm going to make sure you're going to get some of this swag when you get to Virginia Beach, okay?
Hell yeah.
In fact, if you want to do a reprise, because it doesn't look like our partner in crime here, Brad Corrigan's going to make this thing, so maybe we'll just have to revisit this. Let's get to your 8th album, most recent, Break Our Fall. Obviously, by listening to the words that you have to say in not just that song, but in others, you're telling stories that are based in reality, real pain, real joy. It's not always heavy, but it's not always light. This one comes off as a very great, straight-ahead, driving rock record. A lot of positive vibes. You're lifting up the spirit of someone, though, and I know there's some pain involved. Tell me a little bit about your 8th album and specifically about that song, that title track.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is the as Brad is recently a father, and I have 3 kids, and Mike has a kid, JR has a couple kids. It's like trying to figure out what we're leaving our children and what kind of country, what kind of planet. So there's a lot of that. It was done during, you know, it's done right before COVID hit, and then finished, worked on before COVID, and then finished during that first summer of 2020, you know, just after George Floyd was murdered, and leaving just a whole nation grieving, as we saw so many of our older folks, our elders in this country dying, and just needlessly so, just so tragic. So I think there's a lot wrapped up in it. The title track is very personal to me. It's my cousin, my first cousin died by suicide, and he was such a loving, warm soul. And so for him to have vanished from my life and from earth as we know it, has been something that, you know, it's really hard for me. And he was a close with Brad as well over the years, a bit younger than us, but would come out to every Dispatch show, and we would stay at my aunt and uncle's house, and there was Dispatch posters everywhere on his walls and his rooms and in his bedroom. So that song means a ton to us. And it's one of the few that we're playing almost every night on this tour. But, you know, trying to, it also is like communing with him every night to be able to sing it and to be able to send some love to him, you know, up into the atmosphere.
I'll see you when I see you.
Yeah.
I remember that night you fell asleep under the truck when it got late in the morning when I pulled out to look for you. Thank God I rode out straight. Nothing was ever too much. Doing flips off the roof. It's like you were cheating death left and right, but you still wanted proof. And I was thinking about you just yesterday, how you were gonna stop by on your way. I had some things that I wanted to talk to you about, had some things that I wanted to say, but now I stay here in your flannel shirt. Your mom couldn't better give it to Goodwill. It's not even cold. Until we got drunk, we drank until we'd fight, and then we'd laugh again over my fat lip while you were icing your eye. Then you got behind the needle, chasing the next high, and then you managed to escape it. You got that job and you married your wife. And I was thinking about you just yesterday, how you were gonna stop by on your way. I had some things that I wanted to talk to you about, had some things that I wanted to say, but now I stand here in your flannel shirt. Your mom couldn't better give it to Goodwill. It's not even cold out, but I wear it still. You were always there when we hit the wall. Now no one's gonna break our fall. Break our fall. Just yesterday, how you were gonna stop by on your way. I had some things that I wanted to talk to you about, had some things that I wanted to say, but now I stand here in your flannel shirt. Your mom couldn't better give it to Goodwill. It's not even cold out, but I wear it still. You were always there.
Feel you when I feel you, 'cause I feel you every day, but I'll see you when I see you.
That's just amazing. And golly, moving on to I have to ask, as I said earlier, it's not all heavy or super info or, you know, learn this lesson. It's also kind of fun. The legend of Connie Hawkins. Why were you impressed by Connie? I know some bands are really moved by basketball players. I mean, Pearl Jam,
named their first album after Mookie Blaylock. Is this connected in some way?
We did ask Ed if he wanted to guest sing on the track, because we know that connection. But we didn't. I'm not sure if we heard back. I was reading an obituary. I was making a fire living on Martha's Vineyard. It was freezing in a shack, like an unwinterized old house, and making a fire. And I came across the obituary of Connie Hawkins, and it blew me away. As I was crumpling up the New York Times obit, I happened to, couple words caught my attention, and the song was born out of that.
It's great. And the video, you guys do a real creative job with how you'll put things out in video. Some folks will just, they want to get content and put it on, YouTube and just put their lyrics up there. But you guys turn it into an artistic expression. It was certainly very moving to see the reflections of the life of your loved one. And also the Connie Hawkins footage was phenomenal. And it's so cool that people can learn a little bit about this guy. Thankfully he did end up in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I'm hoping that the next one you do. Yeah. Next, maybe a Spud Webb song would be nice if we could maybe.
Ooh, I love Spud. Spud Webb. Yes. I love him.
I know we're running short on time. I'm very thankful that the Wi-Fi signal has been maintaining there outside the tour bus. Let me ask you this, since back in the earlier days, probably one of the better sing-along songs. I mean, there are so many people that love to sing along with you, and it is heartening when you do a tune and everybody joins in because they know it so well. The song, The General, you've recently redone. The song was originally on the Bang Bang, I think the second album in like the late 90s, but you have updated it and done it in a way that is, because I think I read at one point the original meaning was supposed to be about a Civil War general, but you can apply it to conflict as we go through the ages. And now here we are with Ukraine. What a tribute. And how on earth did you learn to sing, or did you have to rewrite the whole thing so that it made sense in Russian? Because I am flabbergasted.
Yeah, I had to work with a translator for 2 weeks for about an hour a day. She was on the border, Ukraine border, Polish Ukraine border. And through WhatsApp, we were able to go over line by line the pronunciations and the meanings and the rhyming, and I had to write it out phonetically, so that I could, but also I needed to know kind of like what I was saying so that it would make sense to me in a weird way. So it was a brain exercise for sure,
man. And it is so needed, and it is so awesome that you could at the same time refresh a message but also introduce it to a younger audience in a new and powerful way. I give you a lot of credit.
Thanks. It's so awful what's happening in Ukraine. It's
unbelievable.
It's so, so sad. The individual stories are crushing.
Jules de Boulle, veteran general Giroy, Cladis Historici, Levec Zalatoy, Approach Lech Pitva Convoriscas, Padiri Ipadiri on Vidal Niras, Napole Boya Zasha Zilan Slavo Ipochot, Uvishin Medalia Mi Ardenov Nishot, Unsramayes Polia Boya Skril Beradoy, Stelialon Sasaldat Karoy. Nakon unje višnje bitve kakda saldati spat Flodu maloš moj slažišni sam ni mogu snot On prosnul se i raskazal o tom što videl I vušel medlene k njim Все солдати стояли в строю по стронке, храбрые бойцы смотрели вперед. Утро было сиром, и они не знали, что будет, пока генерал сказал им идти домой. Он сказал, врага и во сне я видел, и я обнаружил, и та битва того не стоит. И я видел глаза матери, и я не позволю, чтобы вы пошли со мной. Так. Почисти сапоги и разойдись, Прима вам нельзя купить, Вой молоди вам жить и жить. Почисти сапоги и разойдись, Прима вам нельзя купить, Вой молоди вам жить и жить. hours delay. Soldati staliali a ruže na zvodja od stronje komandi ani restriales generalske zarete moj dogno bolše ne šaka pomožiti ti kuda hatitje soldati zastili staliali ni margaja pak adin se drogi mani ni razašli staraj general ostal si je za hom svaj slov a prigeda vosja ke bojo on skazal vraga i vesli ja vidol ja Eta bitva tabo ni stoje Ia vidu glasa matiri Ia ne pas volus Štobam voj pašli za mnoj Tak Pačisti sa vogi i ražetis Prima vam ne zjam gubit Voj moladi vam žiti žit Čisti sabogi i ražetis, vrima vam ne vzjam kupit, voj moladi vam žiti žit, i ditja vas pastile. Idite vas prastile, idite vas prastile, idite. Idite vas prastile, idite vas prastile, idite vas prastile, idite. Idite vas prastile, idite vas prastile. Idite vas prastile, idite. Idite vas prastile, idite vas prastile, idite vas prastile.
We've been talking, of course, with Chadwick Stokes of Dispatch, and you can catch them with Anchor and Spotify. It's also available on iTunes, Google, and more. So, Chadwick Stokes, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate you. Peace.
And what an amazing band. What an amazing man. Pop-Up Radio is produced by yours truly from the cozy confines of my mobile podcast studio. A 1972 Airstream Ambassador land yacht. Pop-Up Radio theme music is by Drew Armstrong in the Radio Room. You can also follow Drew with his current band called Perloid. Pop-Up Radio originates on the Anchor podcast platform, is also shared on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, among others. A cassette copy of today's show may be available exclusively at Akbar and Jeff's Tofu Hut, where the elite meet to eat reheated meaty treats. If you are digging Pop-Up Radio, please tell a friend, share, like, love, and while you're at it, like and love those around you, please. Till next time, be blessed. Questions or comments, please email me at gamewarden@me.com. That's gamewarden @me.com. I'm Eric Warden. You can catch me Monday through Friday also at 93.7. Bob FM. I will see you on the radio.
Hey, this is Chadwick from Dispatch. You're listening to Pop-Up Radio.